You talked about his left shoulder being sore and, you know, was there any connection to that?
No, not at all.
Is it broken or you don't know if it's broken yet?
He has a crack in it, but I don't know to the extent of anything. So that's why he went to get an MRI. So.
It will be one of those things where it's surgery or not? I mean,
he's gone to get an MRI at noon, so I don't know anything. So.
So as you prepare here, how do you feel about Mark going forward?
I feel great about Mark. You know, we felt great about him all along. We were one of the things we wanted to do. I always said we need to have two quarterbacks and the chance to get him in here. I thought he's done a great job in our system. I thought he played outstanding in the preseason and showed no rust or anything when he got in there against Houston yesterday. So we feel real confident and feel obviously very bad for Nick that he's out, but I feel very confident in Mark if we got to go in that direction.
What about D'Amico? Is that
same thing? He went for an MRI. They both went at the same time. So I know he has an Achilles. I don't know the extent of anything until, you know, we'll get that hopefully later on this afternoon.
What goes into getting a backup quarterback? Obviously, you want a guy who can win and a guy who's a good player, but what goes into specifically being able to be a backup and be able to come into a game?
We don't look at it as a backup. We look at it as a starter, and I think we're looking for people to be starters because that better be your mindset going into it because you are literally a play away from being a starter, and I think that's how Mark approached it. His preparation, I think, is just outstanding in terms of what he does here, in terms of preparing. And he prepared himself like he's a starter. It's not one of those things like, oh, my God, I have to go in the game. He was ready to go in the game. You know, and I think the one thing about him is he's always ready. He's always focused. He's always he's always prepared to make plays. And that's part of his makeup. You know, that's what we really liked about him. I think he's got a great work ethic. I think when you watch what we did offensively, we didn't change anything. You know, I think he can run everything. His first play he was in there, he threw a 50-yard pass to Macklin. So, and I also think part of it is the makeup of Mark. I thought he was outstanding with Nick. You know, you watch their interactions on the sideline. He just wants to win. That's a great thing about him. I think he's fully invested in the team and just about winning. It's not about individual accolades. I think he really, truly understands what we're trying to get accomplished here and was great in terms of assisting Nick in all these games up into it, and then when his chance to go in the game and play, I thought he did an outstanding job with it. So.
What did Sanchez do right on the two touchdown passes that he threw?
What did he do? What?
Right. What did he do? Oh, like what?
And I thought on the first touchdown pass, we ran a vertical seam. We had man coverage across the board, and he put the ball where only Jordan could catch it. So it was a great throw. And then on the second one where he threw to Mac, you know, we had a guy in the flats. We were running a two-man combination, and the guy in the flat got picked up. It was James Casey. Kind of got knocked off on his route, progressed to the second guy. Mac had his guy pinned on the sideline and put the ball exactly where Mac could catch it. So.
What did you see on the interception there? Did Cooper get jammed in the line?
Coop and Jordan got jammed up. They were in man coverage. Coop got funneled inside. Jordan got funneled outside, and the two of them got kind of twisted. So I think he expected Coop to be at the top of the stem and coming out of his cut, but because there was a little bit of contact going on there between there was actually two DBs and two receivers, four guys over there. It didn't come out the way Mark was trying to throw it on time, and it didn't work out from a timing standpoint. So, and then the other one was just a tip off of Josh's hand. So,
is there anything differently
in March when Mike decided to look elsewhere? What were you looking for?
Mike decided to look elsewhere right after the season, so that wasn't March. Okay,
at that point, was there a certain profile you were looking for in a quarterback?
No, we were looking for the best available guy out there because profiles mean nothing. You could say I want this, but then it's not out there. I mean, there's just a limited pool of who's the pool of free agent quarterbacks out there that you have an opportunity to sign, and then there's also a pool of draft picks that you can look at, but you know, the profile really doesn't mean anything in that situation. You could say, hey, I'm looking for this, and then you look at the list, they're not there. You still have to get a guy in here. So we always wanted to have three quarterbacks. We have confidence in Matt, but we didn't want to go in with just Nick and Matt here. You know, you needed to have competition at the position, so that's why we brought Mark in.
What is it about?
Is there anything about Mark's skill set in particular that you thought was catered to your offense, or did you just think he's the best quarterback there?
I don't have an offense. I've said that since day one. Our offense is directed around our quarterback. So tell me who's playing quarterback, and I'll tell you what our offense is going to be and how it's going to look, because we can always cater it to the skills of our offense. You know, and that's the beauty of what we're doing here. So I think he's obviously has a big-time arm. He's got an NFL arm. He's got NFL feet. He's really, really smart. He's sharp, great work ethic, very athletic. He had all the things you're looking for in a quarterback.
Do you like where Mark is at this particular point this season as opposed to where – when Nick came in last year, does Mark have a handle or grasp of the offense like Nick did when he came in last season?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think back. I don't know. I can't tell you exactly where Nick was when he got into it. I think Mark is a lot farther along than a lot of guys because of his experience with the Jets. You know what I mean? So it wasn't, he wasn't, you know, Nick last year was just in his second year, and it was, he learned one system his first year in the NFL, then he had to learn a whole new system in his second year in the NFL. I think Mark's a little bit more further advanced just because of his experience with the Jets.
How much of your regard for Mark, you said you wanted to get the best quarterback available, you know, to come in the offseason, mm-hmm. was based solely on his experiences with the Jets, or was any of it based on your familiarity with him?
Based on everything. I mean, I saw Mark play in high school. I actually recruited the quarterback that played after Mark to play at the University of New Hampshire. So I saw Mark in high school practice when I was coaching at New Hampshire. So I've been very familiar with him for a long time, coached against him when I was at Oregon, and saw what a, you know, what a great athlete he was at the quarterback spot, saw his arm. I've seen it, you know, I saw it in high school, I saw it in college, and I saw it in the NFL when we looked at film. So I had some familiarity with him. But just because I have familiarity with the guy doesn't mean let's just sign him because I know him. It's just he's a hell of a quarterback, and we're excited that we got him. So
he's talked about the fact that his arm feels better now. He had that surgery last mm-hmm. season, truly cleaned some stuff up. Did you guys take that into consideration, too? Like, he's going to be, his arm will be back to the way it maybe once was when he broke into the league?
Yeah, I mean, we were confident in when our doctors examined him in terms of where he was from a rehab standpoint and where he was going to progress from his arm, from an arm standpoint. So,
what have you seen from Casey Matthews when he first jumped in for Michael and to now, you know?
I think Casey's been really, really consistent, and I think he's got a very, 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 very good understanding of what we're doing defensively, can set the front, can make the right calls, is an in-the-box linebacker, can make the tackles where you know, from tackle to tackle. I think he's instinctive football player. I've been really happy with how he's played in this season, particularly, especially at the linebacker spot. So.
What's the difference between replacing Michael and replacing D'Amico in terms of responsibilities?
It just depends on who's calling the defense in terms of where we are. You know, I think when both linebackers can call the defense, it's not that there's one that has to, but we always defer to one because you just don't want two guys talking. So, you know, D'Amico may be making the direction call, but Michael knows the direction call. It's just one guy's got to call it, so you don't have two guys arguing over what the call is. So Michael's got comfort in it. When we're in dime looks, Michael calls the defense. Michael's kind of the one linebacker in there. Nolan doesn't call the defense, so Mike's got a ton of experience doing it. Casey has experience doing it. Acho has experience doing it. So all the guys that train an inside linebacker can call our defense. So.
How much does it help the fact that, you know, Casey and Acho and I guess even Marcus Smith to some extent, you know, have already gotten experience because Kendricks has been out, you know, so you don't
want... That helps. That's a good question. It does help because it's not, you know, because those guys will have to play this week, it's not their first time getting on the field, and they've got an opportunity to get a lot of valuable snaps when Michael was out, you know, and play alongside D'Amico. So now when they're playing alongside Michael, it's not their first time, you know, so it will benefit those guys that they've had that type of experience.
Is it different at all, like, you know, replacing Michael as opposed to D'Amico?
It's not that different, no.
Your players talk about getting reps more than other teams they've been on, et cetera. You've had a complete offensive line replacement at various times, and now you're on a second quarterback, two linebackers down. At some point, did you develop that philosophy? I mean, it was, whether it was UNH or Oregon, where you do it a little differently than some coaches that these guys have had?
It's a byproduct of it. I mean, I'm a big rep guy, and I just think, or we're a big rep operation. That's what we believe. You know, I said that the last time. You know, I hear and I forget, I see and I remember, I do and I understand. They have to do it. You know, so you can't just talk about it, show it on film, and say, "Hey, I covered it." No, you really didn't. They gotta go through it on the field, and they gotta see it as close to game speed as possible. And then you have to be conscious of the reps you have, obviously, because the roster is not the same size as it was in college. But we've always been a big rep operation, and I think it pays off. One of the byproducts of is it pays off if you're a two or a three because you get a lot more reps than they do in some other organizations. That's just how we think about it philosophically. But it's not solely built for, hey, we can handle injuries, because that's not, you know, that's not what we're ultimately planning for. But I think it is a byproduct that when somebody that isn't a starter has to get in, it's not, you know, they've gotten, it's not like they haven't gotten any reps at it. So
you think it nurtures their confidence? I mean, it seems like they step in. And
we hope so. Yeah. You know, we really hope so. And I think it, like I said, I think it's a byproduct. But, you know, I think our guys do play confident when they're out there. So
you had no turnovers. You had turnovers, but none in the red zone. Is that the main reason why you think you guys were three for three down there, or were some other things you were doing successfully?
I mean, you just threw a softball up to me. You think we're three for three because we didn't turn it over? Yes. Yes. That's a yes and a yes. I mean, obviously, it's something that we've talked about, we've worked on, we've drilled, you know, and we have to continue. We still can't turn the ball over the way we're turning it over. You know, I know we've been very fortunate from that standpoint that it hasn't come back to haunt us that much, but you can't live on the edge like that and expect to continue to survive. So,
Have you guys made a determination whether Todd Hermans is going to be able to continue to play with the
Pats? No, we haven't. The same, all those guys are seeing the doctors. I'll meet with all those guys this afternoon. So.
I think Andrew Gardner, the first series he was in, was the one where you got the scoring drive off the ground. How did you think he did?
I thought Andrew did a decent job when he was in there. I think he's a competitor. You know, he's played multiple positions for us. And on that series, you know, two of them were run to the left. They were run away from him. And then one of them was run. The last one was a cutback play behind him. But when Andrew went in, Andrew did a really good job for us. You know, I think we felt like acquiring him in the offseason, he would be an addition to us, and he has been an addition to us from that standpoint. So,
is Mattis ready to step in this week?
I think so. You know, he's looked good for a couple weeks here. You know, I think he's just been chomping at the bit. I know he really wanted to play yesterday, but just because of how the rules are set up, he wasn't eligible to come off until this week. So I think he'll be ready to play this week.
So would Tobin go to right guard if Todd can't go?
We haven't gone through all that stuff. We got an extra day here to plan. So we got Gardner and Tobin would be the two candidates to play on the right side there.
Is Hermans getting the MRI on his ankle, or is that on his arm?
I don't know. I really don't know. I know he had the MRI in his arm already. I think they know what's going on there. I don't know if he's going to get one on his ankle.
Can you use D'Amico? I mean, as a fan, you say, oh, everybody talks about his brain. Is there any way you can use him on the sidelines?
Maybe put his brain in one of our other linebackers.
I don't know. Like,
yeah, I mean, we keep all our guys around, so they're all here. I mean, Travis Long is still here. Evan was here the whole time. Alan Barber is here. All those guys, I mean, they're part of it. They continue to help while they're outside, while they're rehabbing and getting themselves back to getting healthy. They're here, and D'Amico will be in meetings, and D'Amico will be with all those guys. So,
in the run game, did you have to block J.J. Watt differently than you do other players you faced?
We didn't scheme differently, but obviously we were very conscious of where he was, and I thought our guys did a really good job of studying him from a critique standpoint of what he'd like to do. Sometimes, even though he's responsible for the inside gap, he does a great job of going backdoor and beating you on the other side. So, you know, he gave us a lot of fits. He's a hell of a football player, but I thought by and large our guys did a good job on him. But we didn't schematically put in any new type of runs or do anything that we hadn't done differently that we hadn't shown in the past. So.
You mentioned yesterday Selleck and his blocking. It looked like on that 70-yard drive he was kind of lined up with Watt a couple times.
Yeah, that's what I think they did. That was a halftime adjustment for them. I think we were having some run success going to the tight end, so they actually moved him from defensive tackle to defensive end to try to stop that. But I thought Brent had an outstanding game run blocking wise.
Todd Hermans, how was he doing before he got hurt? How did you, when you rewatched the game, was he effective?
Yeah, I thought he was effective. You know, there were some certain things I think, obviously, when they kind of got inside to his inside arm, which was, you know, the arm he hurt, I think sometimes he wasn't as strong as he normally would have been. But I thought he battled out there and played his tail off, you know. And as he told me on the sideline, when he sprained his ankle, then he felt like he didn't have, you know. He really said, "I'm a one arm, one leg guy now." So, you know, he was great. He knew when he wasn't at the top of his game in terms of where he was that he couldn't go. So he was the one who kind of came up and told us what the deal was. So
you said after the game about their pass rush early on, they're, you know, climbing over the wall. What did you guys do to help the protection? Did you do anything differently?
We didn't do anything differently. I just think they wore down as the game went along, but they came out with a lot of energy and a lot of juice early. But I think, you know, kind of the accumulative effect of those of a lot of those drives. And I think the key to us was just we stayed on the field on third down. You know, I thought Darren Sproles did a great job picking up three real crucial first downs for us. Huff had a huge first down for us on a third and long where we hit him on a check down route and he turned and got it up the field. I think Darren, like as I said, I think there were three big first downs that he got for us. So I think it was our offense's ability to stay on the field on third down, which continues to drive, which now wears those guys down a little bit.
As these injuries mount, how do you feel about the overall depth of the roster, 1 to 53?
As good as anybody else in this league. I mean, that's what we're dealt with, so we don't really talk about depth or whatever. Let's just go play.
Turnovers. Is there anything that you haven't done that you can do? When you look at that, is that just a byproduct of too many plays, a lot of plays?
No, I mean, we ran a lot of plays last year, and we didn't turn the ball over at all. I mean, I think the unique thing about this team compared to last year's team didn't give up X plays, and last year's team didn't turn over the football. This year's team has given up X plays, and this year's team has turned over the football. But last year, at this point in time, we were 3-5. This year, we're 6-2. So, but it's not what we're working towards. It's not what we're expressing. We're not saying that X plays are okay. We're not saying that turnovers are okay. I think our players understand that. We talk about ball security all the time. They understand that, and we'll continue to work on it. But it's I don't have an exact answer for it.
There's a time frame for Foles and Ryan's return.
Say that again.
A time frame.
I don't know anything until like I said, they went to get MRIs at noon, so I won't know anything till later on this afternoon from a time pin standpoint.
What growth have you seen in Matt Barkley from last year to this year?
I think Matt's improved. You know, obviously it's his second year in the system and has really worked very, very hard at it. So I think, like most players here that are second-year players, I think there's been a big improvement on Matt.
Last As far as calling a game, what kind of sense do you have of what works for Mark and vice versa, what Mark likes to do in his offense?
I have a good feel, you know, just from being around him. And I think Mark's real got a real strength in being able – he's a really good communicator, and you can get a real good feel of what he likes, what he doesn't like when we're going over things during a weekly basis. So I got a good feel for Mark.
I know you said the offense doesn't change with Mark. Is there anything that he can bring a little bit extra, maybe slightly more mobile than that?
No, I don't look at it that way. You know, I don't think – I mean, you know, we're not going to start running speed option. I mean we're going to run our offense the way we run it, and I think there may be a throw here that he likes better. Like, he likes to throw the 18-yard in as opposed to the 15-yard dig or things like that. There's little things that way, but we won't drastically change anything if he's in there. So.
What did you see from the safety play?
I thought we were good. You know, I thought we missed a few tackles. You know, I think Malcolm obviously solidifies everything back there, and I thought Earl did a decent job, got caught in man coverage and didn't do a good job there, and there's a lot of things he needs to continue to work on. But for his first extended play, I thought he was okay.
What did you see from the run defense on film? They bottled up on
same ball. Thing that I've seen all year long. I think we've played great run defense, especially in our base defense. You know, the I think 50 of their rushing yards came from their quarterback. You know, and I think that's one of the things that I don't think our defensive players thought that Fitzy ran that well. You know, I think a lot of times we talked about him. His big escape move was to duck and get underneath things, and he continued to do it, and I'll give him credit for what he did. But I thought overall our run defense against the run game was really good. I think, you know, the one run, the draw on third down there that I think everybody, you know, wants back. But besides that, I thought they did a really good job of understanding, especially in their base run game. I thought our guys did a really, really good job in base run.
Because DeMeco has such a big leadership role on defense, who kind of assumes that, you know, with him?
I think it's a collective group. You know, I said it this morning. I think it's Malcolm, it's Kerry, it's Connor Barwin, it's Cedric Thornton up front. You know, I think obviously Michael Kendricks and Casey have to step up, and Acho at the inside linebacker position. But I think it's a collective thing. It's not just a one-person thing. So.
Okay.